Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. Today we're going to be dealing with Chapter 7, which is on laying on of hands. And the objectives for this particular lesson are as follows. First off, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to define laying on of hands. You're going to be able to identify the purposes for laying on of hands as found in the Old Testament times. And you're going to identify the purposes for laying on of hands in the New Testament times and list the qualifications for ministering by the laying on of hands. The key verse here is found in Acts 14:3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So as an introduction, the doctrine of laying out of hands is the fourth principle in the foundations of Christian faith. Laying out of hands is an act in which one person places his hands on the body of another person with a definite spiritual purpose. This laying out of hands is accompanied by prayer or prophecy. Now, as far as the Old Testament record, the laying out of hands in the Old Testament was used for the following purposes. One, transference of spiritual blessing or authority. And transference means that something spiritual flows from one laying out of hands to the one who is touching. Or two, public confirmation of a spiritual blessing or authority received from God. Or three, commitment to God for special ministry. So three Old Testament examples illustrate these purposes of laying out of hands. First one was in Israel. In Genesis 48 is the second record, or is the first record, sorry, of the laying out of hands for spiritual benefit. Joseph brought his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to his father to bless them. And in Genesis 48:14, it says, "And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and the left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn." So the blessing of Jacob was transferred to his two grandsons by the laying of hands upon their heads. We also find the case with the Levites. The Levites were ordained by God to serve the congregation of Israel as spiritual leaders. In this position, they represented the people before God, and the laying out of hands was a confirmation by the people for the Levite authority before God. In Numbers 8:10, it says, "And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites." Another example is with Moses. As Moses approached the end of his earthly ministry, he asked the Lord to appoint a new leader over Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of Israel, of children of Israel, may be obedient." And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And we find that in Numbers 27 through 18, 20, 22, and 23. So, the results of the laying of hands produced in Joshua is recorded in Deuteronomy. So, these are the results. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." Deuteronomy 34:9. So we see that he actually received something there. So Moses laying on hands on Joshua was important both for Joshua and for the whole congregation of Israel. By this act, Moses transferred to Joshua a measure of the wisdom and honor which he had received from God. Moses also confirmed to the people God's selection as Joshua as the new leader. And here's a New Testament record. The New Testament records five general purposes for the laying out of hands. First off is supernatural signs. Jesus practiced the laying out of hands in his ministry, and we find that he, it says here, he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Mark 6:5. So he laid hands on them. And now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hand on every one of them and healed them. Luke 4:40. And Luke 13:13 says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. In his final message to the disciples at the close of his earthly ministry, Jesus listed supernatural signs which were to accompany the preaching of the gospel. And that's found in Mark 16:17, because it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So one of these supernatural signs was the laying out of hands through which God would heal the sick and perform other miracles. And that's found, again, in Mark 16:17-18. And this confirms the practice was to continue until the end of Christ's earthly ministry. So it is for us today as well. The laying out of hands in the name of Jesus is used to minister physical healing to the sick. The person who lays his hands on one who is sick transfers the supernatural healing power of God. Sometimes a sick person actually feels the power of God in his body. At other times, there's no feeling at all, but this does not mean that healing will not occur. The laying out of hands is an act of faith in obedience to God's words, and its effectiveness does not depend on any kind of feeling, because we're to go by faith and not by sight or on feelings. So the timing of healings could vary. Sometimes complete healing is received instantly as soon as hands are laid on the sick. Other times healing comes gradually. In Mark 8:22-25, you could see where it was a gradual thing. It's important to instruct those seeking healing concerning the importance of maintaining faith until their healing is complete. And you can find further instructions on this provided in Harvest Time International Institute's course, Battle for the Body, which deals all with healing in particular. So here's a couple other verses. In Acts 14:3, it says, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and he granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. In Acts 5:12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. In Acts 9:17, it says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, have sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 9:17. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Acts 19:11. And it came to pass, after the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. And that is found in Acts 28:8. Another purpose of laying on hands is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we dealt with in the last lesson. There are five examples recorded in the book of Acts of how people received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The first example is that of the disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and you could read about this in Acts 2:1-4. The other examples are new converts in Samaria, which are Acts 8:14-20, Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9:17, Cornelius and his family in Acts 10:44-46, and the disciples of Ephesus, Acts 19:6. And again, you can listen to lesson number 6 for more information on that. In three of these examples, those seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit were ministered to by other believers through the laying on of hands. And Acts 8:18 states that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. So it was through laying on of hands. In Damascus, Ananias laid his hands on Saul that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And in Ephesus, the disciples to whom Paul ministered received the Holy Ghost after Paul laid his hands on them. So laying on of hands is not the only way people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. in the upper room of Jerusalem and in the house of Cornelius, people received the experience without anyone laying hands on them. But on the basis of these examples, it is scriptural for those seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit to be ministered to through the laying on of hands. Another method for laying on hands, and another reason, is for imparting spiritual gifts. So another purpose of the laying on of hands is to impart spiritual gifts. Paul wrote in Timothy 1:4-14, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." Paul again refers again to Timothy's spiritual experience in 2 Timothy 1:6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is given thee by the laying on of hands." So laying on of hands was combined with the gift of prophecy to direct, encourage, and strengthen Timothy to fulfill his God-given ministry. Another purpose of laying on hands is commissioning Christian workers. So another purpose of laying on hands is to commission Christian workers, and commission means to authorize, delegate, or send on a mission. As spiritual leaders, they were waiting on the Lord in Antioch. They were waiting on the Lord, and it says, "The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." And that's found in Acts 13:2-4. So the Bible indicates that God had already spoken privately to Paul and Barnabas about the work he wanted them to do before he spoke publicly to the church leaders. The public revelation was a confirmation of the call they had already received. The leaders did not send Paul and Barnabas on their mission immediately. They took time for fasting and prayer. The sending forth of those two men was accompanied by the laying on of hands by the church leaders. Paul also laid hands on Timothy to commission his ministry, and that's found in 2 Timothy 1:6, which says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." So the practice of laying on of hands to commission Christian workers was not used openly by missionaries and ministers. The appointing of the first deacons in Acts 6:1-6 was accompanied by the laying on of hands. In Acts 6:6, we find that whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. So the office to which these men were appointed in the church at Jerusalem came to be known as the title of deacon. The method for appointing deacons is outlined in Acts 6:3-6. The apostles gave the people the responsibility to choose men qualified to fill the office. These men were brought before the apostles, who laid hands on them and prayed. By this act, the apostles showed they accepted these men as qualified to hold this office. They committed them to God for the task for which they were chosen and transmitted to them a measure of their own spiritual wisdom necessary for the task. Another purpose of laying on hands is the dedication of infants. It's not scriptural to baptize infants, as we dealt with in the baptism lesson, as they cannot repent or believe, which are the requirements for baptism. But through the laying on of hands, infants can be dedicated and committed to God's protection, guidance, and blessing. We find that in Mark 10:16. "And he, Jesus, took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them." So, as a special caution, the New Testament provides a word of caution regarding laying of hands. In 1 Timothy 5:22, it says, "Do not hurry in a laying on of hands," or "do not lay hands on people suddenly." Because of the act of spiritual transference occurs when you lay hands on somebody or they lay hands on you, it's wise to be cautious in using this practice. If a person laying of hands is not spiritually qualified, the practice is not effective. The Bible is specific about who is qualified to lay hands on another to impart spiritual benefit. First off, they have to be believers. So believers may lay hands on others. We find that in Mark 16:17-18. "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So believers are able to lay hands on the sick so that they might recover. The qualifications of true believers have been discussed in previous chapters in the teaching of the principles of repentance from dead works, and was also dealt with in faith towards God. Also, we have apostles and disciples. In Acts 8:18, it says, Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. And in Acts 9:17, this is a certain disciple named Ananias, putting his hands on him, be filled with the Holy Ghost. So the apostles and disciples were appointed and anointed by God, and they were mature believers and examples of qualified leadership. Others that can lay hands are members of presbytery. In 1 Timothy 4:14, it says the laying of hands of the presbytery. So the high standards set for presbytery, also known as elders, are recorded in 1 Timothy 3-7 and Titus 1:6-9, if you're not sure about that. So in summary, the five purposes for laying on of hands in the New Testament are for supernatural signs, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and for imparting spiritual gifts, the commissioning of Christian workers, and dedication of infants. So, understanding and using the laying on of hands is important because Jesus indicated that this practice was to be a part of the ministry of the church. The laying on of hands is a spiritual practice missing in many churches today, but consider the impact on the spread of the gospel if every believer was effective in laying hands for the purpose and for purpose of healing and for miracles. So consider the impact on the spread of the gospel if spiritual gifts were being imparted and Christian workers were commissioned on a regular basis through the laying on of hands. So if you could imagine if we would obey the scriptures and go forth and lay hands and impart spiritual gifts unto others, what a big difference that would make. So that's it for this lesson. Next time we're going to be dealing with the resurrection of the dead. That will be part one of that particular topic. So go ahead and go to your chapter self-tests, complete those, and join me for the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.